So last night, my husband and I sawed a woman's face off. It was really awkward because we couldn't figure out just the right way to do it. So I was like, no, start at the temples and just kind of bisect it down to this corner of the lip. And he's like, no, I think we need to go around. And we debated back and forth, and eventually we just chopped it off. But we did it for our 9-year-old son for his Halloween costume, right? So it's okay. We needed to take her face off to put another face on. And essentially, that's what we do as a business. We have a haunted attraction, and for those of you who don't know what a haunted attraction is, it's where you pay people money to go put yourself in an immersive experience that's interactive and designed to make you feel afraid. So we started in 2006, or it's 2007. We started playing in 2006, started in 2007, and we have four amazing haunted attractions, which I will tell you about shortly. But first, I want to tell you about the first time I wanted to scare someone. I was in first grade, yes, I was in first grade, and I had my mom pack red Jell-O in my SpaghettiOs thermos. And I waited for the right moment when the teacher left the room, and I opened that thermos and I brought out that red Jell-O and I went, "Golly, Ma!" Which, if you don't know, is from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. I have no idea why I was watching that movie in first grade, but I thank my parents every day for making me the weirdo that I am. And when I brought that out, the kids were like, "Dude, you're weird." Like, none of them were actually scared, but I got like a from a kid called Kenneth. And Kenneth was awesome, but he got thrown out. I was in a little tiny Catholic school. So Kenneth got thrown out, and over the years of Catholic school and just my whole life, I had trouble making friends. I got sent to the guidance counselor in third grade, and we had to make cards with Snoopy stickers about how to make friends. And I looked at someone like, "This is bullshit." I'm in third grade, and I'm like, "This is bullshit," and you know it, Mrs. Hughes. So in sixth grade, I decided, well, screw it, I'll start selling imaginary friends. So I made little profiles of imaginary friends. I would draw a picture of what the friend would look like. I would tell you all their stats. It was basically one of those eHarmony profiles, but fabricated, not that any of them are not. And I got in trouble by the time I sold my 10th one, made 10 whole dollars, almost enough to get a Nirvana CD, but not quite. And I got in trouble for that, but I realized I loved making characters. And when I went from my little tiny Catholic school to ninth grade in a public school, I was like, I get to make my own character now. I'm not wearing a plaid jumper anymore. I'm not Mary Margaret or whatever, Mary Catherine Gallagher. So I got to go to high school and make my own identity. And I was like, should I be punk or should I be goth? Because if I'm goth, that means I get to wear all black all the time. Black is flattering. I look really good in goth. But punk, like, you get to be a little bit more edgy and weird. So my behavior in class isn't going to be that, unusual. But I decided to just kind of wear whatever I wanted until I found the people that I wanted to be with. It took a really long time, but then I discovered a funny thing called the theater department. And I found my people. But the weird thing about the theater department is you don't have to be punk, you don't have to be goth. You can be yourself and you can be in the theater department. So I met this guy, right? Really cute guy. He was a baseball player. He actually had a job and he wore polo jeans and Tommy Hilfiger stuff. And I was like, this is not the kind of guy I'm into at all, but I really like him. And for Christmas that year, he gave me an Abercrombie and Fitch gift card. And I said, "Dude, do you not even know me? I mean, we've been together for 6 weeks. I thought we were a thing." And he said, "Look, my mom is not gonna tolerate your red vinyl pants. So you need to find something that she will like, and then you can meet her, and then we can keep going." I was like, "What kind of guy is this? Who wants to change who I am?" But I put on that mask and I pretended to be the girl that he wanted me to be in my khakis and polo. But ended up working out because his mom is now my mother-in-law. And we run a business together. His mom, his dad, and me, and him. So we started Legends of the Fog in 2007. Like a couple months after we got married, all of it is a whirlwind. But when we started this, like, neither my husband nor I were very like edgy at this point. I mean, I was still edgy, but only in my head. I didn't want anybody to know. I had this khakis and the polo. But we brought in a guy who was very metal, and all his friends, and his parents, who are farmers, were like, what the heck are your friends all about? Who are these people? But you know what? Within a couple of months of working with them and their creative ideas and their talents for putting on a theatrical production of the scale we were going for, we did it. And they were very grateful that these people who looked a little weird were able to do this. And over the course of 16 years of running this haunted attraction, we have been a magnet for weirdos. And we love it. We love it. We love everybody that we get. In fact, we have four attractions, and I'll tell you a little bit about each one of them. We have a haunted hayride, and basically, like, it's as redneck as you think. We have a tractor. It has a wagon behind it. There is hay in it. And you go through several buildings, and in each of the buildings, there's a different theme, and different things will happen to you. We have a lot of really cool props, but we also have really incredible actors. And our hayride actors are like your X Games type people. They are extreme athletes, you know, doing crazy cartwheels off the wagon. It's disturbing, and I watch them, and I'm like, okay, I might as well just go get these bandages now. And then we used to have a circus that was an ordeal, but it was a fun ordeal. But now we have a haunted house. And in the haunted house is where I keep all the kids like me, the theater kids. I have this kid, the other day, he took a skull and very, very much like Hamlet, held it, and he goes, have you met Clarissa? And I said, no, I haven't met Clarissa. I'm walking through his greenhouse set. Clarissa, this is Robin. She would like to meet you. Hello, Clarissa. Clarissa wants to know if you're having a good day. Yes, Clarissa, I am having a good day. Oh, dear. Clarissa doesn't want you to have a good day, and you better scatter quickly before she ruins your whole entire life. So I've got these theater guys in there. And then I've got a corn maze, and it's a bunch of rednecks. I'm serious. It's a bunch of wild and crazy guys who love to hunt, and basically they're hunting my audience, they're hunting my customers. And then I now have Slaughterhouse, and dear God, if they are ever looking for a psychopath, I can point them out because they're all in my Slaughterhouse. But the crazy thing about my Slaughterhouse is I have someone who's pursuing their PhD in psychology. I have a firefighter. I have a nurse. I have a teacher. I have a guy that works at PetSmart. And all of these people come together to scare. Most of our population is neurodivergent. Most of us have some semblance of autism or ADHD. Most of us have mental health concerns, as you can imagine. We have a huge outreach to the LGBTQI community. And we started with that just by advertising at Pride, like, hey, like, come find your people. Like, we love everyone here. And it's been a refuge. We like to call ourselves the Isle of Misfit Toys. And it's a place where you put on this mask, right? You come in and you don't know anybody. And you put on this mask or this makeup and you assume this character. Maybe you're a werewolf, or maybe you're a zombie, or maybe you're a demented nurse. And maybe you're a demented nurse during the day, but you also get to be one at night with us. And you just assume this identity, and that's you for the night. But when you take your mask off at the end of the night and you're having pizza in the Actor Village, which is like the Olympic Village but not as fancy, that's where you get to be you. And when you're around the customers, you get to forget the fact that it's hard for you to fit in the real world. You get to just have this separation, and in essence, you get power. You get the authority over them because you're the one jumping out and making them jump. You're the one saying creepy things to them about Clarissa. And that's the essence of it. The essence of it is you can't fit in anywhere else. Come here, put on a mask, and you can scare the people who you don't think like you. But when you take it off, you get to be with people who do like you. And I can't tell you how amazing it is that on any given night I can go out and see a guy who won a drag show last Saturday night next to a guy who's a Vietnam veteran wearing a MAGA hat, and they've got their arms around each other and they're laughing and telling stories about the night before. And that's the community that we've created. And that's community we've created for ourselves. That's community we've created for our staff. That's community we've created for our customers. And that's community we've created for our own children. Last night, my daughter, who is 6 years old, came up to me and said, "Mom, I want to watch a scary movie." And I said, "Okay, put on Beetlejuice." She goes, "No, that's not scary enough." She's like, "I want to watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre." And I'm like, "No, no." So there is a line. There is a line. And the kind of scaring that we do isn't necessarily the scariest that you can find somewhere else, but we think it's a lot of fun. And we want to entertain, and we want to give everybody a place where they feel like they belong on our own colony. I think Legends of the Fog is a place where anyone can feel like they can get along with everyone in their community. But they have to be willing to chop someone's face off to make it happen.